My name is Charles Shi. I worked for Moog Aircraft Group since 2006 until 2016, last year, when I was wrongfully terminated by whistleblowing to Moog top management and to FAA on the extraordinary aircraft safety threat.
Now, what was your job at Moog?
I worked as the East Asian supply chain manager for the aircraft group of Moog
And what is
for 10
Moog?
years.
For people who haven't heard of it, what is Moog? Does it produce aircraft itself?
Yeah, Moog is a U.S. company, New York Stock Exchange listed company. Moog has five business divisions. I worked for the aircraft group, and Moog is actually the world leader in the flight control systems. Moog is the manufacturer and the integrator for the flight control systems for both military and commercial.
Well, now, when you say a flight control systems, for many people, they'll think that means maybe like the rudders. That is to say, the thing that on the edge of the wings and on the tailplane. So, what is a flight control system in the modern world? So, I know there's a lot more electronics in the modern planes.
Yeah, I think Tony, you just said right. Yeah, actually, the flight control system. So we define Moog as from the head to tail, meaning from the cabin control, the control systems, the electronics to the wings and also the rudder and the stabilizers. Anything moves on the wings and the rudder that controlled by Moog actuation systems.
Now, I mean, in the old days, of course, there was a wire, an actual piece of steel wire went out to to control the ailerons. Nowadays, it's electronic wires. What happens if you've got a power failure?
Oh, that's disastrous. But nowadays, the airplanes has lots of redundancies. That means has a lot of systems by standby systems. One, you see, like one electrical system that just went off, there are redundant ones. So normally we don't hear, the power failure resulting the airplane to crash.
Now, what
We hear
about
a lot of.
something like, okay, look, I'm going to be play devil's advocate here. What about something like lightning hitting an aircraft? Surely that could, even though maybe a steel wire would survive a lightning strike, surely electronic wires are going to be fried and burnt, and it may mean that the pilot simply cannot control the plane.
Right. I think that's in the past. But nowadays, you see, I worked also for 1 year as a program manager for the Chinese big aircraft program called the C919. So when I was in that position, I learned a lot of the aircraft, safety, designs like lightning. So, the present day airplanes, so they had these risks already, analyzed and covered. There are technical means to remove those risks. I think we don't hear, Boeing airplanes, Airbus airplanes are struck by lightning, causing the airplane to crash. There might be extreme situations that cause the airplanes to crash by lightning.
What about,
But
I mean, what about testing? Do you and have you been involved in Moog in actually deliberately, for example, flying aircraft into electric storms to see if they can survive them?
no, I was not involved in that testing. I did not go that far. But Moog did have a laboratory doing something like that, testing a bird strike, lightning, and also mechanical failures. And Moog also, design and manufacture the testing equipment for Boeing, for other competitors like Parker Aerospace. Honeywell, probably a GE and a Moog.
So anyway, you're saying that you blew the whistle on some practices that you didn't agree with on aircraft safety. Now, first of all, we all know aircraft safety is supposed to be number one. Certainly the pilots are very, very good at sharing information with each other about potential hazards. But this was something where you felt you had to blow the whistle because otherwise people wouldn't have known. So what was the whole situation? When did you first realize something was wrong?
Okay, so I think it came to my attention in 2015. We had a new Chinese supplier named the Suzhou New Hongji Precision Part Company Limited, who was introduced by my then supervisor, who is a Chinese American. His name is Zhou Zhou. He was hired by Moog in 2013.
Let me just stop you there, Zhou Zhou. You can you just spell that for me?
Yeah, J for July.
Oh, J.
J-O-E.
Yep.
Zhou. Zhou. His last name is Zhou. Zhou.
Okay, Zhou, Joezhou. I just want to make sure we've got, you know, the exact names and spellings and things, you know, because it's obviously, you know, right. This is useful to put in the, if people are searching for him on the internet. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. So he just, introduced that privately owned small company into a Moog aircraft supplier approved list. He promoted very hard on that supplier from, I think, late 2013. But in April 2015, I got some tips from my subordinates, two of them. They alerted me that this supplier, NHJ, we call NHJ, New Hongji, we short name them NHJ. They said their previous aerospace customer, BE Aerospace, exited from them. I asked why. My people told me they used substitute material for BE Aerospace. And BE found out in their laboratory when their products were being tested. So BE is a manufacturer of airplane seating systems or kitchen wares. So BE just exited from that supplier. You see, before Moog even had that supplier added into Moog supply base. So that is one critical point. So when I learned this, I immediately reported to Zhou. I went to his office. I said, Zhou, we had a situation and I heard that, New Hongji was exited from BE. He said, yeah, I know that. So it's a raw material vendor screwed up. That's it. Then he just brushed off this thing. From that point, so I was cautious, very cautious, and nervous, and I instructed my people. One of them is the supplier development engineer, SDE. His job, the name, I cannot disclose his name, but S guy, okay? The S guy, we call SDE, reporting to me directly. He is the responsible person on that NHJ supply. He worked in that company on a daily basis because that company is new. So we assigned this S guy to manage that supplier on the supply development. You see, everything. So he reported to me a lot of issues. And I went myself to NHJ a lot of times. Also, I observed many irregularities, but we don't have a proof that that supplier is using substitute or bad material, counterfeit material for Mach part as at.
Okay, well, look, what sort of material are we talking about? What part of the aircraft was this going into?
Yeah, we gave this NHG, Mach, gave them 30 plus part number of flight control machined parts, Machining parts, we are talking about the material, aluminum, and steel. Many of them are safety sensitive or safety critical.
Okay, so what part of the aircraft were these parts? Where were they being used in the aircraft?
The parts we gave to that supplier, mainly for the flight control systems, hydraulic flight control systems on the wings. Among these 30 plus part numbers, one of them is a single point of failure part for Boeing 737 spoiler. So let me see the spoiler is what? Spoiler is the actuation system to control the flaps when the airplane take off and land, to reduce the wind and to reduce the speed to make sure the airplane lands safely. So when we take the flight, we see from the window when the airplane take off, there are flaps on wings each side. They suddenly, erect, or when the airplane land, the flaps erects suddenly, okay, to reduce the speed. That is controlled by the spoilers. We call spoilers. So that is very safety critical and safety sensitive.
What material were they using, or what should they have been using, and what were they doing wrong with these parts?
That single point of a failure part for Boeing 737 spoiler is a steel part. Okay, this supplier was caught falsifying material certification while they use substituted material during my investigation, private investigation.
So what was wrong? I mean, were they using the wrong kind of steel or a different type of metal, or what were they doing wrong?
Yeah. Any material, if it's not called out on the mock drawing or aircraft, drawing, is the violation of FAA or aerospace standard, regulation, and order.
So was it just the Boeings that were affected by these parts, or that they could be used on, or was it Airbus or other aircraft too?
Mog is actually manufacturing flight control systems for both Boeing and Airbus, but this supplier, we only give them parts for Boeing, some maybe for Airbus, but that can be simple parts. For Boeing, particularly during my whistleblowing, starting from August of 2015 to even now, it's mainly on the Boeing parts, with particular focus on that single point of failure part.
Okay, so you've done your job. You have been to your Jozu, your contact with NHJ, and you've also, I imagine, been to your bosses and explained to them that there are questions over this supplier. So what happened then?
Joe just brushed it off, and I observed more irregularities during that period of time. So Joe wanted to expedite giving more business to that small private-owned company. While they don't have the capacity, they used unapproved second-tier suppliers, which is another violation. So to make Mach parts.
So what we're saying here is that they weren't necessarily even manufacturing these aircraft parts themselves. They were asking somebody else to manufacture the parts and then passing them off as their own.
Yes. So that is also a violation of FAA order or airspace order and regulation and standard. So
now, that, I mean, the obvious thing here is that it might be cheaper to do that. So these parts obviously are very critical, safety critical. Is that a factor, cost?
Yes. So I think the motivation of that supplier to outsource the parts from unknown or unapproved source is just for, you know, for the cost consideration. You know, they want to make money, and they just you know, and they don't have the capacity. And while they want to, you know, to quickly expand doing business with Moog, and that is something I think there is an arrangement, you know, a scheme between Joe and that the owner of that company, named Li Jian. Li Jian is the owner of that company.
Okay, you better spell that Li Jian as well. Go on.
L-I, Li, his family name, Jian, J-I-A-N, Jian, we call Jian, J-J for July, J-I-A-N.
Okay, so that's L-I and then a space and J-I-A-N for Nelly.
Yes, yes.
Okay, can you just spell Nihonji too?
New N and E W N E W new.
Yeah.
H-O-N-G J I J for July. J I.
New Honji. Honji. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So yeah, so what happened to you?
Yeah, you know, there is something, you know, between what happened to me. So when I observed, you know, this NHJ or New Hongji is using unapproved second source, so I also talked to supply quality manager for Moog by the name of Claire Stardek. She is a Briton. She worked with my team here in China. She is supposed to do the supplier quality management. She approved, she audited that supplier and got them approved. So I said, Claire, please go to the Nihonji second tier suppliers to audit them, make sure they are meeting Moog requirement before we give them business. And Claire declined. She said, we don't do that. And Moog has no system to do that. I said, Claire, I worked for Moog 7 years, okay? So I used to audit and approve all the other Chinese suppliers. They have been working with us for 7 years, and I never heard Moog should do any business from unknown sources. So that is not Moog system, not aerospace. And she declined. Then I talked to Joe. I said, Joe, if Claire does not want to go, I go. Joe said, okay, you go. Then I went to audit four of the second tier suppliers. New Hongji told us they are outsourcing Moog parts. I went with the S guy who is managing New Hongji. We spent 2 days auditing that four suppliers. Then we came back with the alarming finding. Those suppliers, they don't know Moog and they don't know how to make Moog parts, and they don't have the traceability system, which is also vital for the aircraft safety. They don't have that system in their production system, so they are nowhere to make Moog parts. So I had a summary meeting after the two-day meeting with Mr. Li Jian and his team. I said, so based on our findings, so you should suspend. We use the word suspend, not stop. Suspend outsourcing Moog parts from them. And Mr. Li agreed. Then I wrote an audit report. I sent that audit report to John only because I know that this report could be very, very sensitive and very turbulent. And since Joe is my boss, so I need to respect him, you know, and also there is a politics that supply is introduced by Joe. So I send this audit report by email to Joe when Joe was in U.S. attending meetings Okay. Then I said, you know, Mr. Li agreed to suspend, you know, using the second tier suppliers, so until they are improved. Zhou then responded in just one sentence, excellent. So that's it. Then he came back 2 weeks later. Then he bypassed me. He talked to two of my people, including the S guy, instructing them to expedite and giving more business to New Hongji and to their second tiers. So that is something happened in July 2015. Then I was so upset with when I was told by my people, you know, that Zhou was doing that. Then I asked the S guy to do another audit and find some issues I was planning to whistleblower to Zhou's boss, which I did on the 7th of August 2015. I wrote an email including S guy's audit report on the 7th of August 2015 to Kevin Wallach. Kevin Wallach, his last name, Walek. He is Moog Aircraft Global Supply Chain Director. He is the direct supervisor of Zhou. Kevin was really, really good guy, and he took the message, and he and another VP of aircraft group quality named Jesse McGill, they, two of them, wrote a letter to Chinese team, 20 of my team in China, the supply chain team, that says we got information that NHJ or New Hongji had traceability issues, material issues. We ask CLEAR to spend 3 weeks investigation on that supplier, and we do not tell anybody from NHJ that we are doing this. So Kevin wrote a letter to all of the Chinese supply chain team of Moog, including Zhou and me. Then Zhou started. Next day, Zhou asked me to be in his office. I sit in the office next to him. He asked me to be in his office. He started talking to me, not how we do this investigation on NHJ. He talked to me first. Charles, can you figure out who whistleblower to Kevin? You see, this is criminal mentality. Okay, so I just, bullshit him, and he disappeared. He disappeared for a few days, where he could be, in New Hongji. And then I was on a business trip, I think in a week's time, within one week, I was in a business trip. In one morning, in the middle of August 2015, I received a call from S-Guy. S-Guy told me, Charles, Zhou just called me to tell, we are investigating New Hongji to the boss of Mr. Li Jian. So I told him, this is something, Kevin already wrote, us not to do. He said, he hesitated. Then Zhou, hung up. Then he called me. I said, S-Guy, you cannot do this, okay? So Kevin's letter said it very clearly, we cannot disclose anything to NHJ, because otherwise if we tell them they started tampering evidences, then we has created enormous problems with the investigation. So I said, you should talk to Kevin. I said, S-Guy, you call Kevin 10 minutes. I will call him first. Then I called Kevin. I said, Kevin, Zhou want to, tell everything to Mr. Li of NHJ. Kevin said, no, you cannot do this. I said, Sean will call you to make sure. So this information comes from Sean. Then Sean called Kevin. Kevin also told him the same thing. Then it's about half an hour later, Sean called me again. He said, Charles, Zhou called me. He said, Esker, you don't have to call Mr. Lee. I told Mr. Lee. You see, Joe disclosed confidential information that Moog is investigating that company on the violations of airspace requirement.
Now, that's interesting, that because it sounds to me as if you're trying to investigate Nihonji, and you need, obviously, you need to do that confidentially. But one of the Moog employees has secretly told them that they're being investigated. Is that right?
Yes. And Joe also was absent from office. He used to be in office all the time. We other people, just go around and traveling. He disappeared several days.
How come you actually got finally sacked after all of this? Because quite clearly, this is a situation where your company is investigating a supplier, which is doing really breaking one of the main rules in aviation, in that there's no traceability with their parts. If anything goes wrong with an aircraft part, if an aircraft crashes, for example, God forbid, but you need to be able to trace who made that part and where, and they're not doing that. So you're doing your job. How come, you got sacked?
Yeah, that's the problem. There is a story I have to tell you and, the audience before, why they sacked me. You see, after, the whistleblowing, Joe actually figured out I was the whistleblower, and he helped, he worked together with Mr. Li Jian doing all this tampering of the evidences. So that's for sure. And also, the investigator clear did not do the job correctly, and her investigation is just flawed and defective. I complained her investigation and to her boss. There is no feedback from her boss, okay? So I was aware there are cover-ups, not just from Joe and from the career. There is a systematic cover-up. Then I conducted my own investigation, kept doing the investigation. I talked to the raw material vendors who supplied the material to BE Aerospace. That BE checked, the some of the material facts with them. Then they realized, so the material certifications were falsified by NHJ or Nihonji. Them supplied them the material, which they did not. And you see, that material caused the product failure in the BE Aerospace laboratories. So he told me this. I had the recordings. Then I was about, and there I met another guy. He used to work in NUHJ. He quit it because he saw with his naked eye several raw material vendor company stamps used to falsify the material certification. You see, that is crime. Then I had these two major findings. I was about to whistleblower to Moog CEO, in January of 2016, then I was sacked. The next day, I reported internally to the CEO of Moog of my latest findings, requesting CEO of Moog to conduct a serious investigation. And I said I was responsible for whatever I said legally, okay? So don't let me go before the investigation is complete. Then the next day, I was sacked. So that is retaliation on a whistleblower. Then the last word I told Moog is, I will whistleblower to FAA, which I did on the 13th of January 2016.
Now, the FAA are the regulators, Federal Aviation Administration. And what did they do? Did they get back to you? Have they explained to other people in the industry that the parts being supplied by Moog through Nihonji may not actually work, may break, and the aircraft might crash?
Yes and no. Yes, FAA did come back, in March, on the 10th of March 2016, that they acknowledged my whistleblowing. They started the investigation. There was an investigator named Robert Fortune, or Bob Fortune, F-O-R-T-U-N-E, Fortune. He and I communicated a few times in April. Then FAA reached No violation substantiated on 1st of June 2016. You see, I gave FAA all these objective evidences, and they did not conduct any independent investigation, and they just accepted whatever Mok told this investigator, and they reached this no violation substantiated conclusion, and they said the case was closed.
Now, one of the key people in this is Claire Staddeck. She's British, you say?
Yes. She's a British. She used to work one of the Moog facility in Wolverhampton, UK.
Yeah, would you spell her name for me, please?
Yeah. C-L-A-I-R-E Staddeck. S-T-A-R-Z-E-K. Staddeck.
S-T-A-R-Z-E-K.
Yes, Staddeck.
All right. Finally, what message have you got for people who are in the aviation business and also for passengers flying on Boeings?
Yeah, that's my motivation, to whistleblower, to Moog, to FAA, and to now disclosing this, extraordinary, aircraft safety threat to public. So, because, maybe Moog people, they don't fly the airplanes. They know there is, threat, air safety threat. FAA officials, they don't fly this Boeing 737. They can fly, Airbus 320, okay? But general public, we don't even know, airplanes we are sitting that might have this single point of failure parts controlling the airplane when they take off and land. So according to, U.S. authoritative, agencies, 90% of airplane crashes happened during takeoff and landing. And the single point of failure parts are controlling landing and takeoff.
These Boeing 737s, what airlines are using them, and how many aircraft are out there, do you think?
There are between 300 to 500 airplanes, Boeing 737, affected. You see, NHJ was the single source for that part since early 2015 till even today. Okay? So at least 300 and 500 airplanes, 737 affected. You know, this data is on the Boeing website. You know, Boeing has the website of their sales, each airplane model, and who the customer, which customer bought. So in 2006, Boeing sold more than 600 737 airplanes. 19 of them, they sold to U.S. Navy. So you see this violation not just affect normal citizens, they affect U.S. military as well.
Amazing. Charles, if people want to know more about this, how can they find out more about this safety issue?
Yeah, I think after June last year, I feel very, very disappointed with the FAA, investigation. I felt they might abuse their authority and they are derelict of their duty. So I supply them more information and more evidences in July and requesting them to reopen the investigation, which they declined, until August. Then I was, bitten. And also very, very disappointed. Then I looked carefully the evidences I have. When I looked at this audit report, SKY did on the 7th of August 2015, I noticed there are three lot of material numbers mentioned and quantities mentioned in that report. You see, during this whistleblowing, the 1 year whistleblowing to Moog and to FAA, I repeatedly requested them to verify material, you know, fact, starting with that one single point of failure part. I gave them the part, I said, because we also closely monitored that part, you know, from the very beginning, we know there are a lot of problems. We know that the traceability is lost, but we don't know, you know, which particular, you know, lots were substituted. So we requested FAA and MOC to verify that material certifications and, you know, the fact, which they did not do. Then I thought to myself, why I do the verification myself? Then I called the approved material vendor for that three lot material, and I received feedback 2 days later. That's three lot of material accounted 1,000 pieces according to NHJ, but the approved raw material vendor told me they only sold them 300 pieces. That means 700 pieces of material are substituted. Okay? So with this bombshell, compelling objective evidence, I took a recording of, you know, the conversation I had with this sales manager of that approved material source. You see, I had this compelling evidence. Then I sent this information through my then U.S. lawyer to FAA safety hotline. Again, requesting them to immediately open the investigation, which they did. Okay? Then I had, again, several communications with Mr. Robert Fortune or Bob Fortune. He said, he wrote me an email in September sometime. He said, Charles, I was again assigned to investigate this. So at that point, I filled it out. So he is the guy, you know, he did not do this job, you know, properly. And now he was assigned again to do this job.
Now point, Charles,
yes.
What do you put this down to? I mean, because you would think that hopefully anyway, that a big organization like the FAA would take this seriously.
Yeah, they should.
Why don't they?
Yeah, then I communicated with Bob. I said, Bob, according to FAA own, you know, suspected unapproved part procedure, which they have no procedure, you know, internal protocol to investigate such case, because this, by giving them not just the, you know, substitute material tips, this is criminal tips, okay? This supplier is an organized crime entity. They purposely, you know, forging material certification, not innocently, just intentionally falsifying material certification while using cheap substitute material for aerospace grade of material. So this is a big crime, even in China. That is counterfeiting.
That's
so
right.
I said, according to the FAA protocol, own procedure, you should contact law enforcement agencies to work with you, okay? So you don't have jurisdiction to come over to China and investigate that supplier, but DOJ, Department of Justice, or FBI, they had this Chinese counterpart. They can help them. You know, Chinese also has a law against the counterfeiting. Okay? So Chinese police and the Department of Justice can help you. Okay? This is a cross-border cooperation, they can help you uncover the criminality. Okay?
So why hasn't that happened?
Yeah, that is the problem. You see, and I and my lawyer talked to the to FAA people. We request them to do this, and they They just did not do that. In November, I wrote a letter to the administrator or director of FAA, Mr. Hooter, Michael Hooter, okay? I said, your people did not do, you know, what your protocol should told them should do. So you should, you know, instruct them to put more resources and contacting law enforcement agencies to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to the Congress and, you know, to demand you do this.
But why did not the FAA act? Why didn't they act? This is potentially criminal here. So why have they not acted?
That is the question. I think we should wait for the, you know, public, you know, outcry and...
I mean, surely it's not good enough to wait for a public outcry before the FAA act. Otherwise, they're simply not up to the job.
Yeah, that's why I'm, you know, I am, you know... trying to contact the Congress people, you know. Actually, I did. You know, I tried to contact the Congress people, but I am a humble person. You know, they don't know me, and so far I don't have a response from Congress.
Okay, so do you, when you're flying, do you fly in a 737?
Yeah, but nowadays I try to, you know, avoid flying Boeing 737 made in you know, after, you know, 2006. So.
Thanks
I'm
very
telling
much.
The people, all the air travelers, not, yeah, probably refrain from flying Boeing 737 made after 2016 until the counterfeit parts are removed. Okay, so let's cry out, you know, for the FAA and, you know, Congress, you know.
But it's not just the planes after 2016, is it? Because these parts might be used to replace old parts.
Yeah, probably. Because Moog also, you know, have the aftermarket, you know, business. So they might replace other parts, you know, old, you know, 737s.
Okay,
so,
Charles. Anyway, Charles, thanks very much for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you.